This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark and Noel Lim. 7:37 in the morning, Friday the 9th of October. And we're having later on, in about half an hour, The Breakfast Grill, where Roshan Kanisen speaks with Sharunizam Samsudin, CEO of UEM Magenta.
Right, so guaranteed to be quite an interesting grill because UEM Magenta is one of Malaysia's largest asset solutions business involved in road maintenance and healthcare support. Despite the company being seen as a defensive play, the company's share price actually has been down year to date and swung into a loss for the first half of the year. So, Roshan Kanisen, right, will be speaking with the new CEO on the path forward and plans to improve margins.
That's going to be a very interesting conversation happening after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. But in the meantime, here at BFM, we're taking this day to celebrate World Mental Health Day, which is tomorrow, the 10th of October. Now, 2020 has been a whirlwind of a year, not just for us as individuals, but also for societies and governments. And while the coronavirus around, about mental health have largely focused on what we can do as individuals in our private lives, there are actually also public policy implications too.
Yes, there's so much that the government can do at that level. So for Mental Health Day this year, we're speaking to an economist who studies the collective well-being of societies. I think this is what I would like to do in my next life. because we really want to know how exactly can we preserve a society's or a country's well-being in the face of a crisis.
So joining us to share some insight into this is Annie Tubaji, cultural economist at Swansea University. Annie, thank you for joining us. Now, we often think about building resilience as a way to cultivate mental health, but tell us what a society's psychological resilience is as defined in your field of cultural economics.
This is a question of the psychology of a group of people living in a particular locality together. And as the human psychology, this can vary in a spectrum. If it is somewhere around the mean in terms of attitudes on different topics, then the mental health of a locality is normal. And if people start polarizing, this is the first symptom of abnormality in the mental health of places. The mental health problem of a locality is when there is an overly affection towards one particular idea and when it turns into a mania. Of course, you can have the polarization also on the political spectrum, such as radical voting and stuff like this. And the very primary symptoms of the disbalancing of the mental health of people is measured in the level of their happiness. So, do people start feeling unhappy? If they start feeling unhappy, they start taking the road of destabilization of the mental health, and then they will likely enter first stage of polarizing around opinions and then ultimate stage developing a maniac affection towards an attitude.
So what does a resilient society look like then?
Well, this is a society that can preserve its mental health within the mean value of affection towards ideas, indifferent of the socioeconomic shocks. People should take the shocks in a manner that does not change too much their attitudes towards each other, towards topics in the socioeconomic reality. And they should remain relatively equally happy with their life. If they get destabilized, then they're losing their resilience.
And how does psychological resilience translate into economic resilience?
Everything which is an economics outcome is a product of human behavior and human decision making. So if people start making decisions which are too polarized, they will be dividing the existing inputs and resources in a polarized manner. They will not be giving access over these resources. So it's all about whether there will be a divide between people on the basis of ideas and unhappiness. And the opposite condition would be resilience, where people are maintaining their happiness in different of the shocks which hit them, and they preserve their cooperation and sharing of the resources and trying to work in the best interest of the outcome for everybody.
In a recent article you co-authored, you argued that public policy has an impact on a society's psychological resilience. This obviously has become a much more salient topic thanks to COVID-19. But how exactly can public policy affect a population's resilience?
Well, there are two big aspects of this. The one is prevention. The other is what can we do when the crisis hits. And it turns out psychological resilience is related to your perception of identity, then naturally linked to cultural activities. So research shows that people who consume more culture and cultural activity build potential to handle economic shocks better. So those who used to consume culture more in the past are preserving their happiness levels better now during the crisis. And this is when you control for their economic level and so on. So two people who have equal income, equal comfort of life in general, but one of them has consumed more culture in the past, has gone more to the theater, has gone, this kind of socialization, feeling part of the group, creates a psychological resilience within this person. And then this also translates into the way that this person is likely to respond to calls for help from the society. So his levels of social capital have also been preserved. Well, from the point of view of global action, I have looked on the effect of lockdown politics and how this has affected the group mental health in the country. And we are comparing Sweden, which had different kind of policy, with UK and Italy. And the results show that people are sensitive to public policy in terms of a signal what is good to be done. If the public policies between countries disagree, this creates a stress in the societies of these countries, indifferent whether the political decision is good or bad, right or wrong. The very fact that there is a disagreement between whether we have a lockdown or not in our countries creates a feeling of uncertainty that we don't know what the strategy for survival is. Once both UK and Italy accepted the lockdown, the stress in these countries decreased because now they felt that they are having a common strategy and perhaps this will be a group strategy. We learn from each other, we get signals whether what we do is good for our survival or not. And when we see that the others are doing what they're doing, this reassures us and creates a mental comfort.
Thank you for speaking with us this morning. That was Professor Annie Tubaji at Swansea University talking to us about how to maintain, I guess, the psychological well-being of a society during this time. And one of the things she marks as important is consistency of public policy. And of course, the other thing, which is quite interesting, is the consumption of culture. So she makes the point that people who have made a habit of consuming cultural activities, they are more resilient now to shocks presented by a crisis. But I guess, I mean, that raises the question of whether governments and people really do recognize culture as an asset to society, right?
I think right now we're just also fixated about chasing that goal, right? Making more money, progressing economically. I think what one of the answers that she mentioned, resilience is really the fact that people can be indifferent to social economic shocks. But I think you can only be indifferent if there is that social protection policy that's in place. So it's not just about a mental health policy, but it's a social protection policy so that you know that if you lose your job, there is some support system for you financially. And also, I think, you know, to be resilient through all these shocks, right, I think you need to have some social cohesion. And that's why she makes the point about, you know, cultural cohesion. I think social cohesion for me would be access to family members, they being living not too far away. Mm-hmm. And in Malaysia, I think we've been advocating a mental health ecosystem where, you know, schools should be given support should any students encounter mental health conditions.
Yes, everything is interconnected. And ultimately, it is important to pay attention to mental health, particularly during this time of crisis. But right now, we have some messages for you. And then up next, we're going to be speaking with Lau Zhengzhou of Ideas on the challenge of balancing health and economic concerns. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.